BET After the Dark, man. Best. The music video for Nelly's Tip Drill.
Yes!
Yes! On top!
Now we're done. Oh,
man. And that made me a man.
Oh, man. I remember when
swiping credit cards and shit.
Yeah, man. I was like, holy fuck, this is sick.
Yeah, how was your day, man?
Good, man. I slept. I slept all day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Started out as a nap, became asleep.
You were telling me before that you gave the audible to work?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't feeling tip-top. I'm at about 95% today, boys. I don't think I can do it.
I'm just going to do something. I'm going to get close in you. We're still socially distancing.
Yeah.
There we go. Nice. Fuck yeah. So... Jim Kerr, ladies and gentlemen, got him in the booth with me today. How are you doing? How's life? You know what? First off, I asked you three quick questions.
Okay. Yeah.
But hit me. How are you handling with like the COVID and like still doing comedy and everything?
It's I didn't do comedy for months.
Right.
And so it was weird because, you know, you feel like you're getting on a roll because I'm still fairly new. So yeah. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
And then it all shuts down and you're like, okay, well. Maybe I'll write a bunch during this time. But, I mean, you got to be out there living life to be writing shit. Right?
Yeah, you got to experience things. It's even like thinking of like dumb little things in your head. Like you see something, but if you're in isolation all the time and you're just like watching the news and all that, it just like, it seems like your takes on things just to get repetitive on the same topics.
Oh, totally. Well, it was a weird few months, right?
Yeah.
And also like... What, are we going to write a bunch of jokes about COVID? Like,
yeah, I know, right? Like, every dude has got it out. Oh, man. And there's, like, no clever way of, like, once it's done, like, it's going to be the forefront of everybody's brain. So
what's
like,
the deal with lockdowns? Yeah. Am I right?
How about divorce?
Yeah,
that's, man. Like, the following thing.
So it was like, kind of a time where I sort of looked back on some of my other stuff and, like, maybe tightened it up here and there. And, like, but it's been, I've only had a few shows back, so... Not getting a lot of reps right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm happy it's back a little bit because it's fun. It's an outlet that I missed for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to just get up there and be an idiot for...
no doubt. And Edmonton's a sick place because, like, when I met with you there on Wednesday, you were telling me that there's, like, a ton of rooms that used to be open and you could do comedy 6-7 days a week here.
Absolutely, yeah. We had a lot of people running shows. I was involved in two shows. The Grindstone Theater has two or three stand-up shows going right now, I think. But lots of bars. The station on Jasper is where I think we'll have a show again once everything gets back a little normal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there you could get up... There's two clubs as well, Yucks and the comic strip. And you could get up, you know, sometimes 2-3 times a night.
Oh, really?
6-7 times a week. Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. So for that to halt completely was like, especially in our scene with how much we had going on, it was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And one room, the Empress, has already closed its doors, unfortunately, didn't make it through. That makes it sound like it died from COVID.
Didn't quite put him on a ventilator, not so much.
I keep thinking people are going to tell me they're HIV positive because they're like, man, I tested positive. Like, the only time I've ever heard that, like, sort of in context has been, not like I have a lot of friends, that like on TV and shit. But now it's like, oh, yeah, man, I tested positive. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, you look great, though.
Yeah, you're looking good. Is it just the clap? Or is it just the clap?
And it's like, okay, COVID, yeah. But, yeah, anyway, we had a lot going on. And then it all stopped.
Damn.
And then I was like, So it's going to be interesting to see, like, what continues, what new places start, But right now the Grindstone's holding it down for comedy.
They've 100%.
Got, they've got three shows. They've got a Wednesday, a Friday, and a Sunday show.
Okay.
And so, for stand-up comedy. And they do lots of other stuff, too, but... We're talking stand-up.
Stand-up only.
That's right.
Fucking A. That's awesome. Man. But, like, the slowdown to everything, it does suck. Because it was, when I moved up here, were you running the show about a year and a half ago? I can't recall, but I would go down to, because it used to be the, what did that bar used to call? It used to be called. Not it's the station.
Station, yeah. It used to be.
Oh no, I'm thinking of the what's the one that has the wall of beers and shit. They just changed their name.
Yeah, Urban Tavern.
Urban Tavern. Yeah. I used to go there on Sundays and just watch all the amateur comedy.
Yeah, we had. Yeah, I was there almost every Sunday for a long time. Yeah. And yeah, now that's the Cabin, and I don't know what they're. I don't know if it's the same group or whatever, but
yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of these shows that were like long running, because that one dates back to the Druid, which is what it was before.
Right.
And for it to all stop, it's like, this, what do we do now? And right. I did like a Zoom show and it was like, wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, because you're doing it and you can see the people and like, I don't know.
It's still weird.
I got a couple chuckles, but I've had comics talk about, tell me about like watching, doing their stand up, and then they see the comments like, is this guy done?
Oh, man, that's like, rough.
You still just gotta go. You're getting heckled like
online?
Yeah, by like typing.
Yeah, that's probably the worst. Because you have to read it. You don't just have to, if it's live, you can be like, fuck you, and just shred somebody. But no.
You're telling a joke, and out of the corner of your eye, you're like, this guy sucks.
Thanks, fuck, dick, man. You fucking asshole.
Yeah. So I did one Zoom show. I was like, all right, because you can't really bomb at home when you can just like fucking hit the X and you're out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I did one outdoor show, which was cool, but it's not the same. They're fun though. The outdoor shows are cool.
Where was the outdoor show?
There's a group in town called Cheshire Productions, and they have something called Getaway Gigs.
Okay.
So they have this van that's all set up with a stage and everything. So that someone booked a show, and so we showed up to their house. We did it in a field next to their place.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty sick. Like,
that is kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it was a group of friends that
did you feel like show. Oh sorry
no that's all
Did you feel like with it being outdoors, like it almost seems like a club has that aesthetic and that feel to it? And the outdoors kind of.
Yeah. Infinity to every direction.
Yeah. Where like that laughter can bounce and then like it just like. Did you feel
waiting
like.
Waiting for it to bounce back down from the stratosphere here. Nope. Yeah,
nothing. Okay. All right. Nope.
It's definitely different, man. It's a whole different thing because. But at the same time, those shows are nice because they're booked by people who are there to see a show. Lots of times in the open mic scene, there's a show where there's some people who are there for the show and some people who are there for like the football game.
Yeah,
so you're kind of fighting it a little bit. But I mean, I'm looking forward to the bars getting back. I'm looking forward to getting. I haven't been back to the Strip or anything yet, so that'll be fun to get back there.
Nice. So how does that work with the local scene then? I've always been curious about that. Mm-hmm. So like it's a Strip kind of that's the pinnacle for Edmonton comedy then in my mind.
That's a big that'd be like a nice you can get there as an open micer, and then if you get to do a guest spot or a middle or something, that's like the real comedy experience, like in a comedy club with a good audience and stuff. Like it's sick. Because lots of times at the bar shows, you're like in a corner. That's it. No light. So you get to feel like this is what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
When you're at like the Strip or Yucks.
It's like you spent your time wrestling at the Legion and then finally get to call up to WWE.
Exactly, dude. That's 100% it.
That's what came to my brain.
You get to leave the Legion behind.
Yeah. Just be like, all right, boys, I'm going on the road.
Yeah. And even the Grindstone's a nice like theater. So you get that like theater experience, right?
Right.
Which
is
cool.
Yeah. Where do you find like a lot of your inspiration behind your jokes? Like, what do you find? Like, are you always looking at like people's behavior, or are you like ripping on relationships, or like, what's your main go-to?
Honestly, it's just like stuff that I sort of come across, in my day to day, I'll like write down and try to riff on, or just like I see something that I think is stupid. I'm just like, I gotta say something.
Yeah. Then,
like, now I have a place to say it.
Yeah.
Before I could just be like, I think that's ridiculous.
Oh man.
That's kind of it though. It's like you see something and you're like, I don't know. You write it down. Like, yeah. I'm gonna get back to this later.
My buddy texted in our group chat today and seen something hilarious, and he said he's seen a grown man on a child's trike leaving the liquor store while he was sipping a bottle of vodka. He was brown bagging a bottle of vodka on a child's trike, dude.
Yeah, like that's something, you know, you could turn that into a joke for sure. You know, you see some weird things and you go,
oh man,
because weird stuff is constantly happening, right? You just gotta capture it.
Yeah, like we were talking before, all the weird stuff that happens outside of our office, and like,
yeah,
there's so much strange shit. Like, I've watched more drug deals go down than probably an undercover DEA agent, man.
Yeah.
All day long, I should be, but I ain't no snitch, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm hard in these streets, dude.
That's definitely true.
We ain't on some sucker shit up here on the 11th floor.
No sun.
you also rap too,
hey? I do, man. Yeah. I've been doing that for, like, that's been like I grew up loving hip hop, and so I've been kind of, you know, as a hobby doing it for a long time. But in the last like 3 or 4 years, I started I started trying to perform and like release music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been cool to just like be able to go perform, get to open for people or whatever.
Yeah.
And right now, the Valley City is my group right now. That we got some stuff on sale at a place called Hana Lee on White Ave. We got some shirts and stuff on sale there.
Sick.
Just in case anyone's wondering.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Someone said he would put them in his store for me. Now I need people to buy them. So he's like, this was a good idea. Nice. But yeah, I've been doing that for a while. And like, I found like when I was on stage, doing music, it gave me, because I did music and then I tried comedy, but I'd already been on stage a bit, so I was kind of over the like initial stage fright when I started doing comedy, which was nice. And then being on stage doing comedy, I think, helped my performance on the other side too, which was kind of unexpected.
Do you find harder? Do you find music is harder or doing the comedy?
Probably comedy is harder, yeah. Because like music, you know, you've got stuff that you've finished, like you've got a bunch of songs you're gonna do and you just do those
and that's practiced.
Yeah, exactly. It's like comedy, it's like there, you know, it can, you're trying a lot more, you're putting a lot more out there, I think,
mm-hmm.
than you are in music.
And like you're in a rap group or hip hop group, so then there's like more of you.
Well, it's me and a producer basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but he lives in BC now, so it's me.
Yeah, you're doing everything. Yeah, hey? You're just Suge Knight.
Solo act with a Greek name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, where's the rest of you guys? Yeah. It's just me.
They call me Slim Shitty.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they did. They used to. Yeah. They used to call me Slim. Yeah, now they just call me Shitty. I don't know what to tell you, boys.
Yeah, that's why we're all getting on these Perriers, right?
Yeah, that's right, man.
Calorie,
get
soda
some
pop.
Get some water in me. Yeah.
Some wine?
Some water.
Water,
some
water.
Some wine, I mean, sure, but...
Yeah, just defeat the purpose.
It's important to drink water every day, so we're just going to take our Danger Cats water break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's like the comedy scene. Do you do like a lot of online stuff too? And like, are you trying to get more into like to promote your comedy?
Yeah. Like I run the Yegg Standup account on Facebook and Instagram. So that's just kind of like a place to promote not just my shows, but, you know, other people who want their shows promoted kind of thing.
Yeah, big time.
And so, yeah, I was saying to my girlfriend the other day, it's like, you know, I haven't been super annoying to everyone on my Facebook friends list in a while. Because I used to message hundreds of people about shows just like constantly. So, you know, some are weekly, some are monthly. Just like, hey, come to the show, come to the show, come to the show, come to the show.
Yeah.
That's been months, man.
Yeah.
It's been months. People are like, is Jim? Is Jim still alive?
Is Jim still alive? Yeah. It's like I remember when I got into a pyramid scheme. And I was doing some of that shit. I was selling, it was like discount vacations and shit. And then like went to, I was lost as a young man, and I was looking for my path, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to get into that pyramid scheme money, and I would be harassing people. And they got to the point where it was just like, I didn't even have like any friends. Like I couldn't call nobody to hang out because they're like, this dickhead's probably trying to sell me some fucking scam again.
Yeah, yeah. Know? Yeah, like I turned my relationships into like business customer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, and then you go like, oh, who should I call to hang out tonight? And you're like,
oh, yeah.
Fuck.
And we, there was always their big marketing scheme was like, they had these signs that said, wish you were here.
Oh, yeah.
So you just like take photos and like, dude, I was in Lethbridge, Alberta. There's nothing cool there. Nobody wishes they were here right now. Like, and I was always too fucking broke to go on any of the trips I was selling. So I'm just this fucking loser holding this sign outside of like a KFC.
Staycation.
Yeah, all right.
so stupid. Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's rough.
That is rough.
That's rough, dude.
Wish you were here. Wish you were here, bro. It's like, dude, you're at the fucking River Valley. Jesus we can see Christ. The heroin needles behind you. You fucking loser.
I almost got sucked into one. Not sucked in. A guy that I hadn't talked to in a while was like, hey, we should go for coffee. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I haven't seen
And then
you.
He's asking me all these questions like, hey, like, have you, like, do you like working for, like, don't, like, do you really want to be, like, where your boss is? Like, don't you want more? And I'm like, I was a journalist. So immediately I'm like, this is bullshit, but let's see where this goes. Because I'm like, this is going to be funny. And so he's just asking me all these open-ended, like, oh, wouldn't you like to retire in your 30s and, like, have a nice car? So then, like, I remember I was like, okay, I'll go to one of these things, mostly because I just wanted to, I know the kind of culty people that go to these things. So I was like, let me just check this out. And there was dudes crying, like,
it's the best, hey.
Oh, man. And like, it was Amway. And,
oh, yes.
And like, people were, it was insane, man. Like, they'd have the speaker go up, and I swear their technique was to get a man to go up and speak and then break down at some point.
Mm-hmm.
While like talking about, like, now I have my grandkids live with me. And then you'd see all these guys in the audience be like, yeah, bro, that could be me. And it's like, dude.
I feel you, dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And at one point, the guy and his girlfriend gave us these two books that were like wrapped in plastic or whatever that we were supposed to read. And after we sort of like stopped replying to them, they came back and took the books back.
Come on.
It was a present. And they were still wrapped.
Oh. They came and got the books back?
They're like, yeah, they're like, hey, man, here you go. And then once it was like, no, we're not interested, dude. He was like, well, can I have the books back? I was like, if you really want them, man.
Yeah, they're all yours. Yeah. And you didn't even open it? Like,
no,
what kind of book it was?
They could tell. Well, it was like about their.
Oh, okay. It was like an
Amway. They were still wrapped in the plastic that they came in. So
right.
Didn't even crack it.
Right.
But I started to listen to this shit and I was like,
it's such bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're selling you a future.
Well, the reason I kept talking to him for a while was because I wanted to see how long it would take before they told me what it was.
Right.
And it took till after, like, that big, you know.
Like, getting me in there.
Like, I still didn't know what they did at that point. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Right? Like, somebody tell me what you guys do. We sell a dream. What the, what? How, tell me. And then I told me, and I'm like, that's what I fucking
thought. We sell a dream. I had a girl at one of those events try and convince me that she was gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
a 12 out of 10 gorgeous. And she tried telling the whole crowd how hard it was being beautiful and how, like, dude, and like, she was like making a lot of fucking money off this shit. And it's like, listen, I want to see the names that you've signed up. I will guarantee you it's males. Single from 25 to 37 that think they can fuck you.
Yeah, they think they got a chance.
Yes.
Yeah.
They will sit here. They don't even know what the fuck you said. Not a clue.
They're still trying to process the fact that you're talking to them.
Yeah, yeah. Like
days later. When's the next meeting?
Yeah, I can't wait. They're at every one of these events. Like, it was the same thing, like those events. Like, everybody getting all cheery and
dude,
dancing.
They're so happy.
Right?
This is amazing. What a great opportunity. And you're like,
where the fuck am I? Waco, Texas?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like the look on the face where you're just like, you're brainwashed.
Right?
Like, there's something wrong, man.
People like that drive me mental.
It's like, hey, we're giving away cars to our people. It's like, whoa, they give away cars.
Yeah. But you got to sign up 69,000 people.
Yeah,
and
man.
And we'll give you a Kia Sorento.
A leased Kia Sorento.
Yeah, man. With no power windows, by the way. AC is back when, remember in the old cars where you open up the vent? That's the AC.
There you go. There you go.
So you can like just get a draft on your asshole and that's it.
Yeah. Now go continue selling whatever it is to your friends and family.
Yeah. Sell the shit out of this for us, please.
Oh, man.
It's sad to see people get roped into that.
Oh, dude.
I was one of them, but then, like, it kind of clued in. I didn't do one, but two.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I sold protein powder, but it was actually kind of good protein powder.
Yeah.
And it was, like, vegan, and, like, I did well on it.
Yeah.
Because like, I was also fighting and, like, working out lots, so then people are like, holy shit, he actually looks half decent.
Yeah, I don't use this, but.
No, I didn't. In fact, my cousin signed up for it. I canceled my shit, and then he signed up for it, was getting all the protein, had, like, 6 to 8 months worth of this shit because he didn't cancel. So I just took his and used it when I didn't have protein. Genius. Now
genius.
That's marketing, baby.
That's it. That's why you're in the position you're in today.
That's right. That's why I'm selling a dream.
That's right. On the 11th floor.
Yeah, man. Oh, fuck, dude.
It's so creepy. It's so creepy. I hate it so much.
That fake happiness?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
No.
There's a girl at the coffee shop that's always like it drives me nuts. When you are like, hi, how's your day? Stop it. I'd rather you just look me dead in the eye and say, you are a prick. And I'd respect you more. You are a prick.
Yeah. No, I don't mind. I don't mind. Just tell me.
Just
say what you feel.
Stop.
The fake happiness is so scary.
It
like,
is.
It scares me. Because it's like, who knows what these people are capable of?
Right? Like, those are the people that kill people.
Yeah, man. It's like,
there's like something that just snaps one day.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, man.
They don't get their Amway stuff on time. And boom.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, Amway would sell guns and bullets, but they'd lose all their fucking sellers. Just to take us down a dark corner.
Yeah. They give it to you in one of those special packages when you reach a milestone.
Yeah, a milestone.
You get a Glock.
When you're diamond platinum plus, just put a bunch of words together.
Oh, man. Yeah, I never understood. I could see why some of those people are like stoked about it because they're like, thank God there's morons that are just buying into my bullshit all the time.
Yeah, and the people at the top must know it's ridiculous.
100%. And like, but they're making so much fucking money.
And they're, for them, they're, it's not really a pyramid scheme for them because like they're at the top. And so they're just, it's just a scheme for them.
Yeah, dude.
They're just making money off all these idiots.
Yeah, like they're, you know, they're the ones that were actually going on these vacations and like doing all the fun shit. While meanwhile, dumb fuck in Lethbridge holding his blue sign.
It's people who like, who played like, I remember the one that I was going to meetings for or whatever. It was a couple of people who had like, they had sold their whole university like basketball team on it.
Yeah.
And those people were all like into it as well. And so they got like a strong foothold that way. But that's the thing. You have to like essentially betray your friends and family.
100%.
Being like, this is a good thing that you should do.
I know. And I felt like afterwards, because at the time you're like in your head, you're like, hey, dude, I got to fucking get paid, man. I got to make something.
Yeah.
And like then you realize what you did after and you're like, holy fuck, am I a dickhead? I am a piece of shit.
Sorry, guys.
My bad. I'll buy you a beer. Buy you a beer.
That should even it out.
Yeah. Just one. Yeah. Because I mean, fuck all. Yeah.
I'll buy all you guys a beer.
Yeah, just one, and then we're one and done in this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. It's brutal.
I'm glad I never got too sucked in.
Yeah.
But I remember at the very beginning being like,
that journalist,
this fucking
side
guy's up to something.
Yeah.
I want to find out what it is.
That journalist side of you kicked in, and I think that was your saving grace.
I think if a journalist gets sucked into one of those, it's bad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Dude, come on.
Oh, man. That would probably be like their main catch, hey?
Yeah.
It's like, a journalist to a pyramid scheme would be like, Like that's
how you know you're doing a good job convincing people.
Yeah, man. That would definitely be it, I think. No?
I would think that would make me feel like I was doing a good, if I was the people doing it, that would make me feel like I was doing a good job convincing someone to do it. If like someone who should be looking at it from like a, you know, objectionable or from an objective standpoint get suckered in, I'd be like, yes.
Oh. Were they playing like music and shit and having people dance?
Oh yeah, yeah. At some point, yeah. After the dude stopped crying on stage.
Oh, it's so all cringy. The guys were like
and I'm sitting there like, I am the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
Right? It's cringy as shit.
What do I gotta sign up for to get the fuck out of here?
Yeah. Just leave just at leave. That point. Yeah. Just leave.
Yeah, I remember just feeling like, I can't wait to talk about this afterwards to people.
Oh. I was too embarrassed to like talk. I didn't want to bring any of my friends there because then they would see like these people are insane. Yeah. What are you doing? Why are you here?
Why are you here, dude?
Get roasted. I would have got roasted.
Yeah.
And which would probably have been a good thing looking back.
Because you would have been like, maybe this is fucked up.
Yeah, maybe I am. If I can't even bring my friends here in confidence.
I remember looking at my friend at this thing and then thinking, oh, the only reason that you like tried to reconnect was for this. And I also remember looking at him as one of these people just being like, you put that in.
Oh.
Like you look like, why you, what do you do? You don't see what's going on here, man.
I don't know.
They are very convincing, and they like approach the type of people that they can convince, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're someone out there who got suckered in, I'm not saying you know you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, you do.
It's the system, bro.
Bro. They're holding us down, bro.
Yeah, dude. Fuck pyramids, man.
Oh man, I had a dude fucking, because I like reading all like the business books like a psychopath, even though like I don't, like I'm not a business guy. I don't know why, but I really like the 40-hour work week.
Right, right. Yeah.
And like, it's not a 40-hour work week. It's like a 400-hour work week. Once you read that book and you realize all the shit that these people do, like they do a lot of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. They're like,
I've never read it.
They're fucking, all those books are convincing, but like, I'm so fascinated by it. Yeah. I don't know why. Because in my head, I'm like, oh, I can be an entrepreneur.
Well, it's a whole industry. It is fascinating to be like, this is how people get into these types of ventures.
Yeah.
Like, people are really good at getting people on their team.
Right. It's like those, you know, when you're on YouTube and you get like a Ty Lopez or like, he was that dude. Remember that dude that was always on YouTube ads? And he would be like, you know how I got this Ferrari? Reading this bookshelf of books behind me.
Yeah.
It's like fucking, they're convincing people that if you read a book, you can get a Ferrari. I got this fancy house because I read Calvin and Hobbes, bro.
Yeah. It's like, wow, there's something must have happened between Calvin and Hobbes and the big house.
Yeah,
that's what I'm interested in. Give me something in here. What'd you do in this part? After Calvin and Hobbes?
Oh.
No, I don't remember.
Fuck, I know. It's like, I bought one of those courses one time because I wanted to see. First off, the dude that was selling it had it like listed at like $400. I'm like, I'm not paying that.
Yeah,
I know this thing's gonna get down to about 20.
Right. that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, it's 400. I'll hit it when it's at 20.
Yeah, and it did. It took 3 days before it's like, oh, one exclusive deal for $20.
Oh my god!
So I paid for it because I wanted to see like, And like, he's like, yeah, man, I'm the lazy millionaire. He sells this idea that he's a lazy millionaire and he's on a beach all the time. No, man, he lived in like fucking Idaho where it was really cheap. And then on top of it, dude was like working from like a 10-hour day. It was a way longer day than what he's like. I make about 13 websites a day and I attack this and then marketing and that and this.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, man, this is
you're insane. Not, you're kind of lying about how you do that.
Yeah. You bullshitting fuck. Like,
you bullshitting fuck.
Oh, man. But
then he gets people to buy the course.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
I think that's the hook. They get you in and then they're like, oh, you can get better if you buy this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. it'll help you sell.
Right?
You're like, oh, will it? Will it? Will it?
Oh, man. It's like the Beyond the Meat shit that we were talking about. What were we talking about last week? Was the chicken?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I tried the KFC.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Does it taste like chicken, though?
Yeah. They cook it in the same grease as the chicken, so you still get to feel like you're going to shit your pants after.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, obviously is why you eat KFC.
Nobody's going to KFC for health, though,
no,
eh?
No, I don't think they're healthy. They're just not chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the people that are like, oh, everyone's saying this Beyond Meat stuff's so healthy. It was like, no one said it's healthy. They just said it's not meat. Yeah, like, man. Dude, this is fake fried chicken. Like, yeah. It's not made from a cauliflower.
So is it? Like tofu? Just deep fried tofu?
No, it's... Oh, man. Tofu's fucking gross. I can't.
So gross.
So gross.
Unless it's in like a miso soup and you're getting your Japanese on.
I can't
like
even do it, man.
No.
I tried to cook with it one time because I was signed up for one of those like... They send you a week's worth of ingredients and you...
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, let's try this out. Help me cook more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, this tofu, like, I don't think I'm going to like it, but I'll try it. And it comes in this container and it's all like wobbly and shit. And it was supposed to get fried. And I took one bite and threw it all out. Moral of the story. And ever since I'm like, get that shit away from me.
Yeah.
It's like soy something and I can't remember.
So it's just like.
It tastes good though.
It's like, a hippie's paradise.
Yeah, man.
all that shit that they send you. Is that what it is basically?
All that shit. Yeah. 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 Yeah, hippie's paradise. I got rid of it, though, because it was like, there's a lot of pressure to cook all these meals every night. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just want to eat some chips or something. Yeah,
and you have a penis, so it's just like, yeah, I don't want to do all that. I'm not into chickpeas, man. Give me chips. Fuck that shit.
Oh, man, but it's, I mean, the Beyond Meat burgers are actually pretty good. They taste like a Whopper to me, which... For some reason, that came into my mind. I was like, this tastes like a Whopper. I haven't had a Whopper in, like, God, I haven't had a Burger King in fucking ages.
They're like the bottom of the barrel of fast food in Canada, hey?
Yeah, I think so. They're pretty down there.
Yeah. Like, who would you peg at number one? I've always, like, took, like, A&W.
A&W's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I hold them at a high standard.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Lots of old Albertan men sit in A&Ws across the province every morning. So I think out of respect for that.
Yeah. Talking about like, you know, back in the day. Yeah,
talking about life.
Yeah.
Past, present.
Shit. I used to have 90s cattle back in that fucking field.
Now I got a goddamn hash brown.
Yeah. Fucking times are changing. Look at these pussies ordering with lip rings.
Man, that's how even though I don't have any, you know, really, like, any tattoos or lip rings or whatever, mm-hmm. When I walk into a small town A&W, I still feel that glance.
Yeah.
Fucking city boy.
Yeah, like, hey, look at this. Fresh meat, boys.
Yeah. I love a Beyond Meat burger. Oh, come on.
Look at this pussy. Yeah.
Sorry, dudes.
Oh, fuck. Because you grew up in Edmonton, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's like...
Been a city boy my whole life.
Just city kidding it up and shit.
My only experience in small towns as a kid was playing hockey in small towns against kids my age about fucking three times a size. Yeah. You're like 12, facing off against a guy with like a mustache. Like, you live on a farm, dude.
Yeah. And he's got a full-time job and pays taxes.
I'm about to die. I'm 12.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Used to scare the shit out of me going to small towns. See the size of these kids and be like...
Yeah, man.
Oh, boy.
I grew up in Taber, Alberta.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, this small town shit. And, like, it's so funny, like, the dynamic of the city kid and the small town kid. Because it's, like, they both clash. But if you took all of them, especially dudes. Dudes are easy because you just throw us all in a bar, throw sports on, and it's done. And be like, you're just going to argue about teams.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, these guys aren't so bad.
Yeah, these guys aren't so bad.
Yeah.
Sure, his jeans are a little tight and... And see his fucking dick prints.
Those girl jeans?
Yeah. So what kind of gay music do you listen to?
Pretty much, man. Yeah. Like that. I feel like there's a lot of that attitude out there, especially for old dudes, I think.
Big time. Yeah. Like the old dudes in my small town are hilarious because they're like, They're all stuck in the 80s, man. Yeah, everybody's stuck in the fucking 80s.
I love it.
Yeah, man. Like, haven't got the different haircut. Even though they're balding, they still get the same haircut.
Oh, yeah. You love the commitment.
Yeah.
There's like some frizzy hairs still around there, but they keep them.
And they get and it's like once every 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's just like shoddy and like it's and who am I to chirp because like I'm that guy. I'm talking about my future here. Oh man. Yeah.
Dude. Oh, I love it.
It's fucking funny because it's like, yeah, like the city. I feel like it's, what do you think? Do you think it'd be easier to be a city kid and turn small town or a small town kid turn city?
Probably city kid turned small town.
You think so?
Because like you go from being like anonymous to being in a place where like everyone will be like, "Who? Oh, this new person." Hey.
Yeah.
Whereas like a city kid goes from that dynamic of like maybe everyone knows what's going on with everyone kind of thing to being anonymous in a bigger city.
Yeah.
Right. I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't think I could live in a small town.
It's fun and also. Like you said, like everybody's in your shit. I don't miss that.
Yeah, that would kind of get to me.
Gets old, and I like, man, I'm a pretty drama free dude now. Yeah. Like I don't like arguing or like confrontation too much, unless it's like funny confrontation.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah. So like the small town part, like that sucks, but it's like the people there, like you can get a pretty good niche of people
that are
pretty solid, but they're, I don't know.
I just like having amenities around
that too. That's
my like first world problem reason for wanting to live in a city.
Yeah.
What if I need a drink at 12:30 p.m.? 12:30 a.m.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
What if I randomly need to buy bread?
And there's a lot more people here that will probably drink with you. That's true, man.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and like you said, the amenities, like, fuck, man. It's so rad to have an NHL team in your backyard.
Yeah.
That's the best thing ever.
Yeah, that would be a huge difference, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because before you're going down and watching, like, we don't even have a junior team. So it was like, you're watching, like, this midget double A team as a, like, a grown man. Like, you feel like a pedophile.
Yeah, starting to feel a bit weird about it.
Yeah, that Jacobson kid's really been putting up the points this year, talking like he's going to go.
Oh, he's strong. Yeah. He's strong.
Strong forward.
Guy's got a good physique.
Can't wait to see him play junior.
He's got a good physique.
Yeah, he's got a good physique.
I'll never forget like the year Crosby got drafted. I was huge into sports. I'm still a sports fan, but I was like obsessive in those days.
Yeah.
And I remember Bob McKenzie talking about Sidney Crosby and saying he had a strong lower unit and just being like, no, I'm like, come on,
Bobby,
you can't say you this. Know what you're saying.
Yeah. Don't do this to yourself.
He's got a really strong lower unit. Like, dude, he's a child. Get out of here.
That is a child.
He's barely legal. Get out of here, man.
You fucking pervert. Wait till he's 18.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's how you'd feel at the ring if you're like, yeah, fuck this kid.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Like, fuck. Maybe I'll meet him after the game. Like,
yeah. What?
What, are you a scout? No, I just love the game. All right, man.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a fucking... You find, like, especially even, like, sports, like, now as you're getting older and older, like, you just give less fucks.
Oh, dude, I used to give so much fucks. Like, my goal was, like, my career arc at one point was, like, heading towards sports broadcasting, and I was doing all kinds of blogging, and so I was, like, really into, like, really invested in the sports world. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I just wasn't, and... Like I watch a game now and I'm like, I know the teams that I know and stuff, but there's a lot of players who I've never heard of when I'm watching playoffs right now. I'm just like, oh, fuck,
you're right.
Never heard of that guy. And I think like, man, me at like 20 or like 25 or something would know everything. But I just, you start to care much less as the years go by.
Man.
And if I care this this amount right now, I don't even want, how little am I going to care years down the road?
Right? Like,
how much? I'm halfway to caring, not at all.
I know, right? Especially like with like what's happening now. I'm just, especially like
hammered with politics.
So, yeah, it's all so negative and so like it's hard to like to watch that and be like, oh, things are good.
Yeah, to give even to give a single shit, especially when you're like, man, I don't even. There's a moment there where I didn't even know how I was gonna eat.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah, let's talk about geopolitics.
Yeah,
like, let's not.
Fucking, yeah, exactly. Or like,
it's tough, man. There's like it's so hard to find like hope sometimes when you're looking at what's going on like here in the country, you know, internationally, like, oh my God.
Like it's even like, you know, with the social issues that happen right now, I find myself like it gets too much. I give a fuck, but at the same time I don't like I can only control what I put out there. So it's just like, man, like when everybody's just like, oh fuck, this side's yelling at you, this side's that's when you just, I think you kind of lose people.
Yeah. Oh, it totally, man. It's we're in a system where it's like the extremes on both sides screaming over top of the like sensible people in the middle who are like,
and you're just kind of like, fuck, dude, shut up.
Yeah. Like, but at least we got sports back. That's nice. You know, like it was so fucking disappointing that the Oilers didn't make it into the playoffs.
Right.
Or they made the fucking qualifying round, whatever they fucking call that. I saw that they counted those in the playoff scoring, though, because Connor McDavid was still tied for second yesterday, I think.
Yeah, that's insane.
It showed you what a great performance he put on, but yeah, that sucked.
It would have been wicked to see them like go deeper, especially like with it. Oh, excuse me, in Edmonton.
Oh man, I know, it's so disappointing. Like, it would have been so sick, but it also would have been weird to not be able to like interact with it while it was happening.
I know, it's so shitty to think that we're literally like right now four blocks away from where all those guys are, but cannot go. Yeah, every like
there's an NHL playoff game in our city right now as we speak.
Yeah, happening. Like every fucking hour on the hour is like something. There is a game pretty much about to happen or
it's been crazy. I like check the scores at lunch. I'm like, there's a game finished already.
It's insane.
Excuse me?
It's so crazy to me.
I know, but it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I broke down and bought Sportsnet on like the monthly package or whatever. Fuck. $20 a month. Like
just to watch some hockey finally?
Oh, I'll do it for the playoffs, I think. And then
are you a football guy?
I am, but more just like I don't get like too crazy about it.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who's your team?
Pittsburgh,
nice.
I'm like that. Like, I can't sit here and tell you, fuck it. I don't even, honestly, I like the game a lot. I don't know how the fuck it's played.
It's complicated, man.
Right?
Yeah. I never played football, so, and I'd all see the big playbooks and think, like, oh, man.
I didn't, like, I just learned what a post route and a fucking flag route is.
Yeah.
I can, the other
can
day.
Can't even tell you.
No, man, but I love watching.
You can watch the game and not really have, you don't really have to understand all the obscure rules and all, you know. There, on any given play, there's like four dudes running different routes. So it's like, oh, how do I keep, if you're trying to keep track of everything. I really respect football play-by-play and color commentators.
Yeah.
Because like, man, there's a lot happening. Football is weird though, because it's like, I think I remember reading like for every so many minutes of real time, there's like 10 seconds of football.
Really?
Well, each play takes seconds, right? And then the play clock resets. You get 40, whatever it is, seconds. So you like, my favorite example of that is the start of football games. It's like this big build up to the kickoff. Guy kicks it off. It goes out of bounds. Blow the whistle. Go to commercial. It's like, what?
And you wonder why they're such booze bags at them fucking games.
Yeah. And like, that's, I've always thought that's fun. And that's the big, like, here we go. Let's start the game.
Yeah.
And it's just, poof, doot, go to commercial.
Have you been to an NFL game before?
No, man. That's one thing I'd love to do.
They are the funnest thing I've ever been to. It's the funnest sporting event I've ever been to.
The sheer number of people at these games in itself. Like, I've been to some soccer games and like my family's from Scotland. So I've been to some games there where there's like 60,000 people or something. And like, that's insane to be in and some football stadiums are like, or 50, 60 Commonwealth Stadium, 64,000 capacity.
And we get 15 people in there.
Wow. Well, you know, when you're watching at home, it's like, if all those people just sat together.
Yeah.
On like the broadcast side, it would look full. If all those people in all those spots just sat in. But yeah, I'd love to go to an NFL game just because like It's a spectacle, right? It's more than the game. It's the whole thing.
It's like the tailgate. It's an 8-hour experience, start to finish, man. It's fucking so much fun.
That's crazy.
And like Americans with their football is just like, we went and watched the Cardinals play the Jaguars.
Oh yeah.
And my buddy was he's a Jags fan, and we were down there for a stag. So there's 15 of us that were just getting piled.
Oh man.
And like, we're not wearing jerseys or nothing like that. We're Canadian dudes. So like, obviously we look lost and we're like fascinated by all this shit. So guys are like, how you doing, brother? Come on in here for a spare rib and a Bud Light. What do you say about that there, brother?
Fucking
A.
Yes, please. That's what I say about that.
Man, they're so nice.
What made you be a fan of Pittsburgh?
I don't know. I think it was like the Troy Polamalu days.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like,
young. I loved his hair. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was just dope. Like,
he was cool.
Tearing fucking dudes
jumping
up.
Jumping over linemen and shit.
Yeah. And then like, I seen that. Who's your team?
I don't know. I have a lot of friends that are very passionate about NFL football.
Yeah.
And they're all from here, and they're all very passionate about a city in the States that they've never been to in some cases.
Yeah.
And I'm always just interested, like they'll argue between like, and it's like, dude, you've never been to Denver. name five cities in the state. Like, you know, like you're not from there, man. Like, what do you
fuck that, man. Like St. Louis, fuck St. Louis, dude, St. Louis till I die. It's like,
what state is St. Louis in?
Fucking a state.
Kentucky.
State championships is what they'd be in. Like, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You're full of shit.
Yeah, you're fucking.
So I've always thought it was really funny because some guys are so passionate about it.
Right.
And it's like, dude, you have less than no connection to this team.
Yeah, man. Something in your head told you on Madden. Yeah. When you're playing it, this is
like
my squad.
A connection to it, like they love the team so much that you're like, sometimes you're kind of like, take it easy, man.
Easy.
And again, you're like, you like just picked them one day.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I can't even tell you.
At one point, I was like, okay, because one of my friends like that was like, oh, think of a city you've been to that you really like and pick that team. So I was like, okay, I like San Francisco. So I like tried to be a diehard San Francisco fan for a year, and I felt like I was just like, this is fake what I'm doing right here. Like,
yeah,
we got this. We got this.
Yeah,
me and the rest of the San Fran fans around the world.
Me and
Niners
the boys.
Nation, baby. It's like. And that's the extent of it. I can't do this, guys. I'm sorry.
Have you been to San Fran?
Yeah, I went there for a music festival.
Oh, sick!
Rock the Bells one year.
Was that
like a hip hop festival?
Yeah. Okay. Who's headlining?
Man, I'm a big Rage Against the Machine fan.
Sick. And, so you got to see them?
Yeah, in 2012, 2000, what was it, 7? When they got back together at Coachella.
Yeah.
I like. Took every piece of money I had to get there and went with a bunch of friends. So I got to see their first concert back. And then I like went to a couple other festivals in that like year and a half. So I'm just like obsessed.
Nice.
Rage is the shit.
They are fucking
and
badass.
Like live so good. And Wu-Tang was like the co-headliner that day. Like it was like a star studded thing. And it was amazing.
This is at Coachella.
This was at Rock the Bells in San Fran.
Rage,
yeah.
And then Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang and then Rage. Yeah.
Fuck, that
is
stacked.
Crazy, man.
Dude,
yeah.
That's so sick.
And there was long lineups for the bathroom. And at one point, some guy traded me a blunt for my spot in line. And I was like, sure.
Nice.
Awesome. And I was like pretty new to weed at the time. So I was like, does this happen? Is this a thing? do people barter with blunts? Like, is this a thing that we do? Do I have to keep some on me?
It's the 2020 jerk, whatever time man was trading post.
Yeah. It's like, sure, I'll take okay. And I was like, what if there's something in it? I was like, a fucking.
It's PCP,
scared
brother.
Little kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you like to get wet. What do you mean?
Oh man, fuck yeah! Who else is on that lineup?
Oh man, I can't even. This was years ago now, but the Coachella that I was at, Rage Against the Machine was there. The Roots were there, which I'm a big fan of, and like those festivals have so many amazing acts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just it's hard to even fucking remember.
Right. So you got to see Roots, Wu-Tang, Rage, yeah, all in one go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a big hip hop guy too, and like rap and like that 90s, like street culture and shit. Like, I fucking am so fascinated with it.
Yeah.
Especially like the hip hop culture, how it started in New York, mm-hmm, and then like how G-Funk came around and like all that. Like,
it's just, where it started and where it's come to now is insane.
What do you think of like new age kind of hip hop? Like that. I mean,
I'm not a fan.
No,
I honestly like listening to the stuff that I know I like, kind of, which is just like a weird, I don't know. A lot of the newer stuff, and I'm trying to stop myself from saying this because it feels so old manny, but I was just kind of like, I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I think it sucks.
It's
not like something's good. And obviously there's lots of incredibly talented producers and writers and artists, but you know, some of it's just not for me.
I think the time frame of it too is so iconic, especially when you talk about somebody or a group like N.W.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was out there.
It was a lot of music with a message too in those times. And like, and that's something like with my music, I can't get away with going out and fucking rapping about like bitches and cars, because that's not me. That's not who I've ever been or am, and it would be completely contrived or whatever. So my stuff is kind of like more on like the conscious side. Like, I have a song called Alternative Facts. That's just about like the assault on the truth that's been happening over the last several years, where, you know, there's all this misinformation and it's hard to know what to believe. And so I really grew up as a lyrics guy, like really digging and wanting to know, like writing it all down to see what it all means and trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So when the lyrics are terrible, I can't really get into it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, I know you're better than that. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, I bet money that you could write a better verse than that. Skirt. What?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
Skirt. Yeah. There's some of it that like I laugh.
It's not for me. That's the other thing. Like it's for someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So fuck it.
It's like, especially like when you're growing up with that hip hop era, because I think me and you are like roughly same age.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
I'm 35. So
35. Close. So yeah, we kind of had like that. You know, like I have cousins your age and older that would kind of pass down that hip hop and rap and the music they listen to. And it was always like a lot of 80s hair metal, 90s grunge, and like 90s hip hop.
Yeah,
rap.
Yeah.
Like that skate culture.
Yeah. Well, totally. Yeah. That's it's kind of interesting how those two cultures sort of like crossed over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's continued to today, which is cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
Especially like you say, with the message behind the music is like, mm-hmm, it makes the music 10 times better.
It makes it mean something, right? Like I said, Rage Against the Machine, I'm a huge fan of, and everything Rage Against the Machine puts out is like, it's crazy to me how, like, those guys, they're very intelligent people who have like a vast knowledge of history. And you read the lyrics of some of these songs, and I like to go to like Genius, mm-hmm, like Rap Genius or Genius, and like read the annotated lyrics to find out what all the different references. That's what got me like deeply in love with hip hop, is listening to whoever my first few were, and then figuring out that they were referencing something from the previous era. And whether it was the samples or they were saying a line from a, you know, something 10 years prior, then you start to listen to that stuff and then you end up all the way back to like the very beginning.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I've always thought it's really cool about hip hop that today, you know, back in the past and probably from the beginning, they're all like, it's very reference heavy. And so you can get some really insanely clever stuff, and it passes by everyone because they can't like, I rap very fast, so lots of times people don't even know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, if you read the lyrics, man, it's pretty, they'll eventually be like, so I was like actually listening to the lyrics and like, fuck, that's, and I'll be like, thanks, man.
It's a pat on the back, and then like,
totally,
your music is appreciated more because of the effort you put in, rather than just making a hard beat and yelling pussy or some shit like that.
Which I'm glad I never like went down that path. But for the longest time, I never put anything out because I was like, I'm a white guy. Basically, it's just like, I really love this. I've loved it for like my whole life almost. I love writing. I love doing. It's like, but I'm a fucking white guy. What am I gonna do? But eventually I was like, no, this like eventually my music in my circle of friends, I was getting enough like feedback from them that I was like, all right, I'm going to try and do this a little more. Despite my whiteness, yeah. Despite like my lily white skin,
I did my taxes. Here's some faxes.
Yes,
yeah. bars.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, like that fucking the whole thing behind this WAP song.
Yeah, see, I like that.
Yeah,
I'm down with that, man.
Yeah, you can get behind that one.
I love how uncomfortable it made a lot of like super right wing white guys, man. It makes all these guys tighten up so much. I love that. Fuck all of you guys.
Wet ass pussy, huh?
It's like, you know what a wet ass pussy is? Like you in the rain.
Yes. Sick.
I thought of that on the walk over.
No, that's a good one. Dude,
you in the rain, buddy. That's it, man.
Dude, when Ben Shapiro
was
reciting the lyrics and being like wet ass p word.
Yeah. And then he's like, my wife's a doctor, and she said if someone has that, then they have a gynecological condition. So everyone's like, your wife's never had a wet pussy.
Dude, yeah.
You've just owned yourself. On in the world,
yeah, man.
You just world owned yourself.
You're the punchline of a joke for the next 5 years.
These guys getting so mad about that, like about three female rappers doing like a greasy ass song. You look at some of the greasy songs that men have written, that male artists have written over the years. It's like, yeah, fuck,
Kid Rock.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
where it's like the fact that people get so wound up about it is just hilarious to me. Like, how few problems do you have in your life that you're like, man,
it is annoying as shit.
Like, you tell me you watched that music video and didn't feel anything?
Oh, man, when, you know what, I cannot stand Cardi B. She drives me insane.
Yeah.
But of course I'm going to watch her twerk. It's the only fucking, God, I'm a guy.
Yeah, really, the thing about it, the underlying thing here is that, like, super conservative white men have always, like, sexualized and been like terrified of like black female sexuality. So to see them get so like, there's nothing better for me to see these guys just get so bothered. It's like, it has no bearing on your life, man. It's a song with
and
a music video.
Those are the
video.
Dudes that like straight up get like black hookers when they're out of town.
Yeah,
man.
It's the guy who rails against, rails against laws for gay people, and then like is in a airport bathroom fucking soliciting sex.
Yeah,
and you're like, who? It's sad.
It is.
It's sad, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's so funny, and it's all promotion for the song.
They
like,
did
that's
it.
Great.
Dude, they're number one on the charts.
It's the
like,
best.
Like, in what, a week?
The song called Wet Ass Pussy. Like,
that's
fuck
all
yeah.
it took? Lil' Kim was doing that shit in 94.
That's true, man. That's a good point. That's really funny because female MCs back in those, on like the Bad Boy and Death Row.
Yeah, man.
They had to be like so grimy.
Right? And she, like, I remember
Foxy Brown, Lil' Kim, it's like,
coming down your throat while I'm counting a million. Eat my pussy till it's gushy. And like, she said that shit 20 fucking years ago, bro.
Hannibal Buress has a hilarious bit about that where he talks about, he's like, if you took Lil' Kim home to your mom, he's like, because she has this lyric like, watch how I can make a Sprite can disappear. And he's like, hey, this is Kim. She does this crazy thing with a Sprite can. But yeah, that was like,
dude, it's been...
That's what it was.
It's been out there forever.
And so to act like it's like, clutch your pearls, like, oh my God.
Oh, I can't believe you guys said this.
Yeah. It's you guys in the rain.
Pretty fucking much. I think it's stupid. And like, good on them. They did an excellent
cool,
job.
Yeah.
I don't know what made them go after that song. specifically.
I think they just were like,
wet ass pussy.
Yeah, like, oh my god, a bunch of black women are like owning their sexuality.
Yeah,
like our kids might see this, and we've tried to teach them.
Because we got satellite TV one time.
Yeah,
and that was blown up for us. Like we were poor people growing up, but we got satellite, and she fucked up and got BET.
Dude. BET After Dark, man. Best. The music video for Nelly's Tip Drill.
Yes! Yes! Up top! Now we're talking. Oh,
man. That made me a man.
Oh, man. I remember when I seen
credit
that.
Cards and
yeah,
shit.
Man. Dude. I was like, holy fuck, this is sick. These guys are doing it, man. Like,
that's so funny. Because I remember sitting at the family home, like, watching this shit and just being like.
She's like, got a tip drill.
Any other music video I'd seen to that point, the riskiest thing was like a girl in a bikini washing a car or something. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa.
Christina Aguilera swings her hip. I'm like, this is some bullshit.
You get on the BET After Dark and you're like,
man.
I think I grew chest hair the first night I watched it. I was like, my voice got deeper. I just grew up.
They were doing that shit back in like, what was that, 2003? Yeah, that was,
yeah, when that song that's gotta came be up. Way back. Yeah.
Dude, and then now it's taken like 10 years, like 16 years.
That song, like the hook, it must be your ass because it ain't your face. I need a tip drill. Yes, Nelly, get it.
It's like, you know, you went from.
My man Nelly is blunt.
Nelly. I need you all the way to fucking that.
I'm must like, be your ass because it ain't your face.
Dude, you can wear the band-aid on your face do all it,
bro.
Day.
Do it, bro. Yeah, man, BET was the shit.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I can't remember what song and video it was, but it was that. Tip drill, and there was like three of them they played all the time. Yeah. And there was like titties and shit, and I'm like this is so like, sick.
Well, it's settled. These are the coolest guys on earth.
Yeah, because this is in the time of dial-up internet, so like that right there was the pinnacle. You knew 11:30 p.m.
Yeah,
let's hop on, kick the feet up.
Kick feet up.
Yeah,
you get a little culture.
You had Jackass on MTV three times, and then it was BET on.
Man, those were the days.
Fuck.
Now there's fuck all on TV.
Right. Now it's just a bunch of fucking cuck shit. Yeah,
man. Bunch of angry right-wing people being like,
oh, fuck, I can't believe this. If you only knew what your baby boy was doing downstairs at 11:30 when you fucking shut the lights out.
Fuck,
man. I miss those days.
So innocent.
So innocent.
Watching fucking Red Shoe Diaries, trying to catch a titty on TV.
Yeah, man. Or like, remember the infomercials that were like, that were barred out, but you'd catch like a titty every now and then they were like trying to
the scrambled shit and you're
and you're like oh my god
I think I think that was a butt. Close your eyes and try and keep it.
Yeah, you had to screenshot shit in your head if like you seen something. Man, these kids got it way
screenshot too wasn't even a word back then, man.
That's gonna be us in the A&W coffee shop being like, remember back in the day when we had to walk to wait till 11:30 p.m. to see a tit.
Well, how accessible is it gonna be when we're that old, man? Like, I'm glad that I'm not a child right now, because I don't know how I would turn out with horrible shit everywhere. Like, you're potentially exposed to everything.
Yeah, man. It's like I remember
finding a magazine in a bush or something like that, right?
I was going to say, there was a tree fort just outside of town, and like, that's where we would steal all of
them. There was a tree fort just outside of town. Yeah, that's so good, man.
We'd steal grandpa's Playboys. It was just bush, and like, if you got your hands on a hustler, man, you were the cool kid. You were the cool kid. And you put that fucker in the tree fort, and then all the boys, you'd ride your bike out there. It was like, it was a 10-minute bike ride just outside of town, and we had a tree fort built up there that we took over, and that's where all the fucking porn was.
Point of the story, it took a lot.
It did.
It took a lot back in them days.
You were occupied with trying to find pornographic material.
We didn't have a computer on us at all times back then, man. Boys.
I didn't even have a flip phone. Did you have a flip phone? Like, until
by grade 12, I had like a nice little flip. I was a big flip phone fan. Like the flip phones. Oh, those were the. I honestly remember saying these words, because when iPhones first started to come around, I was just kind of like, when something new comes around, you know, you let the early adopters get with it. And then so I was kind of like, oh, I'm not really bothered about getting an iPhone. I remember saying, like, why would I need the internet with me all the time?
And now look, it does.
Why would I need the instant? Dude, it's a fucking addiction, man.
Fuck, is it ever.
Like, put your phone out there and come in here and do this and tell me you don't at least look for it once. Mm-hmm. Do the pat. Oh. Like, it's a different time. But I remember, and I feel so stupid looking back, but I remember thinking, like, why would I need all of that, like, with me all the time? Granted, the internet on phones back then was shitty.
It was super shitty.
It was, like, the most basic shit, but still.
Like, I'm thinking, like, why? Facebook would take, like, 9 years.
Yeah, and it would, like, not look like what it would on...
No, man.
I almost said on TV, on the computer.
And, like... Because our era, you actually had to physically talk to a girl, get her number, and then you could T9 text.
Oh, man.
And then try and convince her you're a half-ass decent dude for 3, 4, 5 days of texting. Now I can put Photoshop some ads.
That's right.
I can do all shit, put it on the gram. They think I'm something that I'm totally not. DM me. We line up a fuck date and it's done.
We line up a fuck date.
That never happens. I'm just talking out of my ass. But
and like, I'm like, I totally know how that goes. That way. Yeah. I totally know how that is, man.
I'm one of those sexy dudes.
Guess what? It wasn't the lack of an iPhone that was stopping me from talking to girls. There's a whole list of other things. It was, if only I had an iPhone. If only I had an iPhone, I didn't have to do this in person. I was longing for days like this, man.
Dude, like when Tinder came around, it was a mind blown. I was mind blown.
Yeah, I remember being like, this is crazy. All these people are around? What the
fuck? Like, what the fuck? Like, wow.
And then immediately being like, this sucks. I hate this.
100%, man. When I first moved up here, I was just like,
going from small town to a city, the Tinder would be
right.
Did you have it in? You were in Lethbridge before that, or
I just moved up here, and then it was fucking around with the Tinder. I was also being a grease bag on the girl I was dating at the time on Tinder, being like, "Oh, fuck, this is sick." Because my buddy showed me it because he's playing junior hockey somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So then he showed me, and I'm like, "So what? You just like." Fucking, I had to download it on my iPod Touch. So, like,
man, those were
right. I had
the
it thing, on my
the hoops we had to jump through,
right? It was just like you had to be in Wi-Fi range, like, it was a lot going on at that time to make it fucking happen.
Just to say, what's up?
Yeah, just to say, like, pray to God you got a match. Like, ooh. Fuck, man.
Yeah, I remember getting frustrated with the dating apps after a while.
Yeah.
I have a joke about how after a while it started feeling like shopping in the clearance aisle of a store. Like, you're not really, you don't want people to know you're at. Like, you see someone you know, you're like, fuck. But you're looking, and I go, like, you're looking through, you're like, they have my style, but I don't think they have my size. That's what it started to feel like. You're just like, I've seen all these people for a year now. I've been swiping no on this person for 6 months.
Right? 100%. I
appreciate you throwing me softballs, but like, if there's no one, just tell me there's no one. All right? No, increase my distance.
Oh, dude. Isn't it weird that that's a question? Like, or like, that's like a thing to know that you're a thing with somebody? It's like you delete Tinder.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that weird?
It's like the rite of passage.
Right?
You delete your account.
Or like the social media aspect into relationships is like.
I know. Like, I've never been a big like. Me and so and so are in a relationship on Facebook because it's just sort of like, if you need to know about it, you'll find you'll know.
Yeah,
I don't need the world to be like, yo, check it out, our profiles are now linked.
Yeah, now look at me, I'm not gay, I have a girlfriend. Because
then you break up and you got to take down all your fucking pictures.
Yeah, man,
and then it's like you're left with nothing.
It's a long lonely road, is what it is. It's just like you got to retrace everything and be like, okay, that's where I fucked up.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Ugh. Oh, and the whole world of like sexting and all this, like that wasn't around.
No.
I had a joke about sexting for a while too, where it was like, you know, back when I started, like you took a picture with a flip phone, you had to tell the person what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, was that a titty? Like, yeah. Oh, I think that's, but then you give me the best camera I've ever owned in my life. And you're like, take a picture of your dick. Like, I don't fucking think so.
This thing isn't big on the best of days.
That doesn't photograph well.
No. And like, it gets no sun.
It looks gets like... no sun. Still oddly tan. My legs are out in the sun all day, white as hell.
Thank you for tuning in to another Danger Cats podcast. I know, you son of a bitch, cutting the episode off early. If you want the full uncut episode a day earlier, just in audio, you can head to our Patreon, which will be in the link, which will have a link down in the description down below. Also, DangerCatsShop.com. Use the code PODCAST69. And thank you to all the Danger Dong Patreon supporters who are exec producers on the show. We appreciate you big time. Thank you.